Okay, this is April the 2nd, 1954, hours lecture to Professional Unit 5. I want to talk to you something about the presence of an auditor, about the beingness of being an auditor. Most of the time I talk to you about techniques, talk to you about all kinds of manifestations, phenomena, how to produce results and so forth. Well, let's get very, very fundamental, and let's go into how you could be an auditor. Now, of course, it's taken for granted that an auditor, if he were really a good auditor, would know all the processes, and he would know all the definitions, he'd know all the fundamentals. He'd have them at his fingertips so quickly that anything the pre-clear did or any phenomena which turned up, he would be able to tabulate and account for quickly. But we still would not have covered his own beingness as an auditor. Now, in the first place, an auditor is something that's not quite human. As a matter of fact, an auditor had better not be human. The better auditor, of course, is somebody who is capable of exteriorization, stable exteriorization, and able to maintain it, and able actually to patch up anything that might go wrong as far as his own case concerned. He ought to be up to that level. That isn't up to operating theta, but it's certainly theta clear. Now, that's stabilized exterior, no bang back in, and so forth. He should be that simply to resolve the most fundamental problem there is with regard to livingness. Scientology has a great many processes which handle a great many conflicts. But there is one conflict that is inescapable and unavoidable wherever you have Homo sapiens. And that conflict is this. The body is very insistent upon somethingness. It has tremendous insistence upon somethingness. It has to have insistence on somethingness, because if it didn't have it, it'd starve to death. It depends upon exterior attention in order to live. It is then an insistence upon somethingness. Now, if you were to duplicate a teeth on a preclear, you would just say, all right, now let's duplicate teeth. And he starts duplicating teeth, 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 till he gets lots of teeth, lots of teeth, lots of teeth. First thing you know, out of this big pile of teeth which he's gotten out there, you'll start to get the emotion, whee, let's all be teeth. Let's fill the whole universe up full of teeth. Everything's got to be teeth. Well, of course, this is a central motive as far as teeth are concerned. Everything must duplicate teeth. Any object has this as an obsession. It must be duplicated. If it goes downhill, it gets down to a point, finally, where, of course, it must not be duplicated, which is it must hide, withdraw, get very small, be hard, compact. But here, let's take this problem of when it just has the obsession, we got to make everything into a similar object, must have everything duplicated. This is living objects, of course, you understand. And we find then that the body, at the very best, is not necessarily obsessed with making everything in the universe into a body, but it's obsessed with the idea of filling up all space. It has that. It's going to fill up all space. That's what the body's going to do. If given complete rein to its ambition, any effort to communicate would be an effort which would contain form, form, substance, mass. In other words, any communication the body itself does all by itself must therefore and thereby contain mass. In other words, the ambition of a somethingness is to have something. If it's going to communicate, it must have itself duplicated, and the body is something, so therefore something must be at the receipt point of any communication emanated from the body. So you could say the ambition of the body then is to fill up the universe and make a very simple statement of the thing. Okay, that's very well. The ambition of the body is to have something, to fill up something, so forth. What about the thing? Let's suppose he gets into an obsessed state where he's very compulsive. Well, his beingness is nothingness. And so to have a complete and an accurate, perfect communication, There must be nothingness in terms of form and mass. Any communication from a thetan to be perfect would have to contain no form, no mass. You see, a thetan doesn't have form or mass. And so an optimum communication from a thetan is, of course, something that contains no form and no mass. In other words, he wouldn't even have space. He wouldn't even want space. In other words, he would want nothing. And he's trying to reduce the universe to a nothingness so he can communicate with it. That's obsess, you understand. Body never gets above the level of being obsessed. The thetan easily does. Now, an obsessed thetan, compulsively acting, not understanding what he's doing, long gone sort of thing, he doesn't quite know he's there, he doesn't quite know what he's doing, yet has this obsession to make nothingness out of everything. That would be nothingness out of all space. Well, how would he have to do this, make nothingness out of all space? He'd have to collapse it, wouldn't he? So he puts everything under collapse and restraint in order for it to get down to nothing. Well, what do you think the emotion is of a thetan in a body trying to communicate? Well, you know, that's pretty mixed up, isn't it? Here you have somebody in a body, and he has the ambition of making everything into nothingness, you know, obsessively. He doesn't know what he's doing. And here you have the body trying to make everything into somethingness, and these two ambitions are crossed and conflicted in such a way that he doesn't know, really, whether he's trying to make something or nothing. The composite, then called Homo sapiens, is never completely aware of whether he's trying to make something in existence or nothing. He isn't completely articulate on whether or not the future time track should have nothing on it or something on it. He never has quite made up his mind. There is the primary decisional break in any lifetime. It's the break, you see, decisional. The individual can make up his mind as long as he's predominantly thetan. See, he is a thetan. He knows this, so forth. He could make up his mind. But as he drifts out of complete knowingness of what he is and what he's trying to do, he gets obsessively into trying to make things duplicate him, which would be still all right. He's just trying to make everything into nothing. It would be a decisional thing. His decision would be, well, what are we going to do about that General Sherman tank? Make nothing out of it, of course. Wouldn't matter whether it was on his side or some other side. His compulsive, obsessive response would be, in relationship to the General Sherman tank, let's make nothing out of it. Wouldn't matter whether it was on the German side or his own side or something. It's just the answer would be make nothing out of it. You want to look at the condition of war materiel and so forth, which is normally in the hands of guys in fairly good shape and so forth, make nothing out of it, whether it belongs to their own, themselves, or the enemy. All right. Wreck it. Reduce it. Squash it. Now, he goes down on this make nothing out of it, make nothing out of it, until he hits the body obsession line and he disappears out of view, and we're left in possession of the body's ambition, which is to make something out of it, to make something out of it. And the end product of this, of course, is to collect all the junk in the world and to make massive masses of mass wherever possible and so forth. It's just something, fill up all space. Well, another product of this, if you please, is to have all kinds of ridges sitting around. That's one way to fill up all space. That's a covert way of filling up all space. That's to put up enough ridges, enough electronic masses, enough compulsive, obsessive mock-ups to really fill up all space. You know, doesn't matter if it's hallucinatory. That's okay. We're going to fill up all space because we have a somethingness. We're trying to communicate. Therefore, everything must be a somethingness. Okay. We pop somebody 3 feet back of his head. Immediately recognizes something, if he has any certainty being exteriorized. He recognizes that there's the body, which he is using as a communication relay point. He recognizes that he is here, and he is at liberty to make something or nothing at will. Well, there's a tremendous resurgence the moment he really regains big certainty on being exteriorized and is able to do it stably. As soon as he achieves that point, then he can selectively make something or nothing. In other words, just because he's communicating and he is nothing, there's no reason everything he communicates to has to be nothing. He doesn't have an obsessive duplication in mind. And he doesn't pay very much attention to the desires and wishes of the body with regard to making the universe into something. But he's as bad off as he continues to pay attention to the body's obsessive desire to make something everywhere. And as long as he himself cannot differentiate between whether or not he ought to make something or nothing. The ability to think, to make decisions, so forth, to the Satan, who was very high up, he would not consider it necessary for a duplicate of himself to appear simply because he was communicating with something. In other words, he could talk to a wall and still have a wall there. He could talk to a mountain and still have a mountain there. He could talk to a body and still have a body there. The body wouldn't have to disappear to nothing. He could also, at the same time, face the fact that he could talk straight into space, which is very close to nothing. It wouldn't disturb him a bit to talk into space. And he wouldn't worry him that space was not duplicating him. All right. In other words, we would have a clear-cut idea of what we were doing. But as long as somebody is stuck in a body, he is up against this maybe classification. Should I make something of it? Should I make nothing of it? What am I doing? What am I doing? Well, we'll make something of this, and then we'll be very selective about it, and we'll make somethings of all these things we consider good, and we'll make nothings of all these things we consider bad. And, of course, all the things we're trying to make nothing out of may have an entirely different idea, and so we'll get into a big conflict and an enormous confusion. This is the confusion of an auditor who has not been exteriorized to a large degree. He doesn't quite know whether he should make nothing out of the pre-clear or something out of the pre-clear. It apparently is all right to him. The pre-clear has massive ridges and hallucinations and everything else, permanent mock-ups, things like that, sitting all over the place. An auditor who's interiorized and doesn't recognize the fundamentals with which he's dealing, of course, could sit there and, well, that's all right. And the fellow's got the whole universal energy, and that's his universe, and that's his universe. I mean, that's all right. We'll just let him sit there and so on. Wouldn't recognize this as a rather undesirable condition. And if he were, you might say, relatively high tone for Homo sapiens, the idea of theta clearing somebody would be fine because he could really make nothing out of the guy. Mm-hmm. See, that'd be all right. But let's make nothing out of the body, too, would follow in immediately afterwards. So this individual would be perfectly happy to grind out engrams, providing he had some security in the fact that it was sooner or later going to reduce the body down to a dust spot. And particularly, let's make nothing out of the hopes, dreams, ambitions, protests, ideas, and goals of the pre-clear. If he was just obsessively on this line, why, he'd just be making nothing out of the pre-clear. The pre-clear says, I just had a horrible headache, and this auditor who was making obsessive nothing, says, he would say, now let's process your foot some more, and so forth. And the pre-clear would say, I have a horrible headache. Now let's get the other foot. Let's not make any capital out of any communication. Let's just make the guy into nothing as fast as possible. Now let's get the reverse of this pre-clear sitting there. The auditor knows what he has to run in this pre-clear. This pre-clear is obviously having a very hard time with direction and so forth. And the pre-clear should have run on him next to last list self-analysis, just as a little test on the case. And then some opening procedure, something on that order, something mild. And the pre-clear sitting there, the auditor sitting there, and the auditor says, well, he's got good ambitions. You know, his heart's in the right place. He knows he's going to do well by this pre-clear, if possible. And he starts to say, well, now let's get something real. The pre-clear says, you know, I've been having trouble with my elbow lately. Oh, the auditor says. Well, let's see. Can you get a duplicate of that? And here we go. Where's this session going to wind up? In a dustbin. The guys might as well never sat down. Anything the pre-clear says, the auditor makes more of. Anything the pre-clear comes up with, the auditor makes more of. He makes something of everything the pre-clear communicates. He gets deeper and deeper in the somethingnesses too, and he'll get more and more and more and more significant about the case. More and more significances will turn up because he has to make something out of the communication. So, boy, will he make things significant. This, in essence, was analysis. Every time somebody came up with the fact that they had a slight blink on their eye, why, the fellow said, well, do you ever worried about flirtation? You know, you got to have significances. No, the guy's got some dust in his eye. Well, now, this is a flirtatious manifestation which probably stems from the Oedipus complex. Now, let's get significant. Now, let's make more of it and more of it. And finally, if we make enough more of it, why, we've really got the guy nailed down in the body. What happens to a person undergoing analysis of the old school? He actually just gets sicker and sicker and more wrong with him, because more is being made out of everything he advances, and what he originally advances was that there was something wrong. So we've validated the wrongness of the case and have clung to that and have made something out of it up to a point where the fellow thinks he's walking on glass 24 hours of the day. He just can't. So much is wrong with him. He wonders a few weeks deep in analysis. An individual begins to wonder, how could he possibly have lived? It's an impossibility, obviously, because he had been found to have all these repressions, these complexes. Make something out of it, in other words. Well, that's because the analyst is there, he is pinned down, and he is being 100% a body. You get any race, any civilization or culture which has gone below the level of man can have a soul. You know, races and cultures go up to a certain level, and up to that level, an individual has permission to have a soul or be a soul. You know, this is not outside of our computations. And then he crosses that little sharp borderline, and he goes over into the never-never land of an individual can't have and is not a soul. The second we do that, an individual can't have nothing. An individual always has something. Then you get advertisements for Kelvinators and monopolizing all the entertainment time. And you got to have something. You got to have something. You got to have something. It's got to be something. 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 More something. More something. More something. Of course, he's just got to be this and that and so on. In other words, the second we depart from a nothingness complex, nothingness ceases to be part of an individual's scheme of life. He couldn't think, for instance, of taking a vacation where he would simply go and sit down under a tree and do nothing for 2 weeks. And yet that's a very sensible kind of a vacation. Individual says he wants a rest. Well, all right, let him go sit under a tree for 2 weeks. See, quiet. That's fine. All right. No. You know, you find that isn't the case in an electronic society or a mass society that has more or less abandoned the idea that there's any nothingness anywhere. It's abandoned the idea of the spirit and the beingness and so forth. I'm not talking religiously. It's very silly that man went along. The way it decays is they finally say the soul is something else. You're you and the soul is something else. That's modern religion. You know, that's the same as a pre-clear saying. And by the way, let me interject this one because it's something that you ought to know very well. It's the same as the pre-clear saying, well, yeah, I'm outside my head. I know that. I'm over there. See? He's over there. What are you dealing with? Immediately you should, without giving much outward manifestation, hold on to your chair, keep your hair from flying into the air, and quickly go into where we start. Is it lying down and mimicking where he lies? Or just where do we find bottom for this case? I'm over there. All right, that's Christianity. They're always saying, my soul, you know, and you've got to save your soul. Well, that's the same as I'm over there. Well, so having departed that line, we find the individual today who goes on a vacation has to engage in more hard work than you ever racked up anywhere. He has to climb ski runs, and he has to hack down trees and go bridle pathing and all the activity, something. Guys, you know, I've seen offices just practically on the verge of ruin because they've given two or three vacations. Guys are laid up with broken legs and sunburn and snake bite. You see, even the period of rest must be something. A recent symptom of this is the fact that they can't even let a nothingness like sleep exist anymore. They have, I think, something that's called a dormophone or something like that. It's related to a dormouse, I think. It must be. It's about as silly. Here we have a guy with a pair of headphones on while he's asleep learning all night. Yeah, they do this. It's a very lovely address. It's the same address as the American Psychiatric Foundation. Same building. And there are police forces in the United States which solve the problem of a policeman is unable to learn the thousands of pages of city regulations by clamping earphones on their police force while it sleeps. And they play the regulations to them all night long. This is real cute. But this is all a manifestation of there can't be a nothingness, there must be a somethingness. So they've even invaded the world of sleep. Well, what do you get when you get this eventually? Well, of course, you're just getting everything into more and more solid matter. If you want to find if you wanted to look over any planet, if you were to go to a strange planet and you would look it over, you want to find out which race there was going to cause the most trouble and upset. You would look at some of their constructions, and you would take the heaviest mass. Let's say we had 20 nations on the face of this planet, and they all made some kind of products of one kind or another. Let's say they all made phonographs, or they all made rocks of various kinds. We would pick the heaviest and most massy phonograph or rock, whatever it is, and say, there is the nation which in the past has been extremely warlike, has overflown its borders, and has caused a great deal of trouble on this planet. And everybody would say, how did you know? It's the one where a nothingness becomes impossible. We hectically have to make a somethingness. Well, that will cross up every time with the individuals who are fairly high-toned compared to the low tone of that society. And these guys are still going on the basis of an obsessive nothingness. And these two things go together. We have to make heavy mass, and we have to obsessively make nothing into such a conflict that we get the nation which will overflow its borders and try to enslave and enchain its neighbors. This is true in terms of wide civilizations. We were going around to six stars. Let's just hypothecate that we have several stars and each one of them has a civilization. We were to go around to these stars and look over the civilizations on the planets surrounding them, we would discover that there was one outfit there that was real massive. They weren't necessarily big body, but everything was dense and heavy and massive, and we got to have more mass, and we got to have more mass, you know. There's the babies that are going to wind up eventually conquering that particular space area. And they're going to chew it up like mad. Now, there is no human-type society or anything recognizably as such on Jupiter. But the habitable planets of the solar system here finds Earth the biggest one. And it finds here on Earth the heaviest machinery nation, and so forth, as the one which has caused the most trouble in the last few decades. Last few thousand years, really, that's the German nation. They're typical in this direction. They're very significant, deductive logic. They figure. Always got to make something out of it. You come in, you say it's a nice day. Well, for God's sake, let's drop it at that. It's a nice day, so it's a nice day. Well, not over in Aachen. You wouldn't get away with that in Aachen. Well, it's a nice day, yes, but then, of course, this time of year, we very often have nice days, except on the days when we have bad thunderstorms. But we have lots of bad thunderstorms at this time of year, ordinarily, and it doesn't look very well out there. As a matter of fact, this afternoon, we will probably have a thunderstorm. You just said it was a nice day. That's your hard luck. Now, recognize this manifestation from some preclear you're trying to audit. Every time he runs into a concept which simply ought to go poof, instead of the concept going poof, the lock going bap, and that's the end of it, or the engram just going over the shoulder and forgotten about, and it's just disappeared, instead of that occurring, you just start to get more and more mass energy. The way this is manifested is the preclear says, well, let's see, you're saying, remember a time when your mother was mean to you. Was your mother ever mean to me? Well, yes. You see, that would make a big difference in my case because my mother was related to the haberdashers of Port Boston. And you see, they were very vicious people when it really came down to that. I remember there was somebody in that family went insane, if I remember rightly. Yes. They had a big quarrel about it one time. I wonder if I was in that quarrel. Let's see, how old was I at the time? No, I guess I would have been You just ask them if their mother's ever mean to them. You find yourself 7 counties and 8 families away before you finish up. Why? They're compulsively making something. Let's not get any more significant than just what they're doing. They're compulsively making something of every remark. And you bring up to view, you say your mother ever mean to you, the fellow should, you see, if he was in good shape, if he was getting into better shape, and so forth, progressively. Mother ever mean to you? One fellow saying, hey, yeah. See, bang. We blew a lock. We blew another lock. We blew another lock and another lock and another lock. Bing, 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 bing. In other words, straight wire all by itself will work on this individual as long as he has the liberty to make nothing. But the second you start to run straight wire on a case which is compulsively, obsessively being a body, why, the case has to make something more for everything that they find there. And they just wind up in the midst of the doggonest deposits of energy you ever heard of. Nothing ever blows. They've got to go in the direction of something all the time. Something more, more complex, more significant, more this, more that. They don't have the right to make nothing out of something. Well, your job as an auditor is to bring them up to a point where they can blow these locks, blow these obsessions, not manufacture more of them. This individual left to his own devices because he's got to make something out of nothing would just simply spin himself right down and right in. He would make something more and something more and something more. You tell him, if you told him there was anything wrong with his case, he'd come back the next morning with 8 more things wrong with it, see? He'd have multiplied it. What's he going on? He's dramatizing the body, trying to fill the universe full of mass. Not be any more significant than that. That's what we are looking at. That's what the individual will try to do. This is where he's going. This is where he's headed. And you as an auditor are supposed to head him off. You're supposed to get him up to a point of where he, again, can make nothing out of things. Because if he can't make nothing out of things, he can't make nothing out of his aberrations. And that's your job. Now, let's take you as an auditor. You can almost exactly predict what an auditor will do with a case. Almost exactly predict it simply by looking at the state of case of the auditor, unless the auditor is very well trained. There's 2 things you can do about this. You can bring his case level up, or you could just train the hell out of him. That's why we do both in these units. Now, where would the auditor sit who was having a case go into deeper and deeper and deeper, more complex significances all the time? He would be making somethingnesses, wouldn't he? He's going to make something out of this preclear. He's going to do this. He's going to get the preclear 3 feet back of his head, and then, because he was told to do that, the preclear is there, and then he's going to move hell and earth to get that preclear back into the head and mixed up in mass. Because it's an intolerable situation to the auditor to have that preclear be nothing. And in order to achieve a duplication, of course, the preclear's got to be something, so he hasn't any business out of his head. So we've got a basic disagreement, then, with the tenets that the auditor's dealing with. Net result, he can't audit worth a darn. See? All right. Now let's take the fellow who kind of knows he's a thetan, and he's kind of doing all right. He knows he's a nothingness, but yet he doesn't articulate it. He isn't up to a point where he can be completely choosy about what he's doing. He's still running on lots of machines, unseen urges and impulses and so forth. And all he'll sit there and do is just try to make nothing out of the preclear.